Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, we're going to read the last verse of chapter 5. That's verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. As our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud and you read along silently, and then together we'll read through the verse in unison the second time through. So that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you would and able, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God this morning. If you're not able, please stay seated. That's not a problem, but we honor the Word of God as we read it this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's read together. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Father, thank you so much for what you accomplished from what we just read. Thank you. I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts as our pastor comes and preaches to us from this passage. Use it to help us today. Help us to be better for being here today. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ or on the internet this morning, that they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we want to thank you for being here once again today. And I want you to sit and listen very carefully. As you're sitting here, would you turn also to Hebrews chapter 13? I want you to keep your place in 2 Corinthians 5. But turn to Hebrews chapter 13. At the end of the message, I'll have you turn to that verse, which is two things. Number one, it's the end of the message. And number two, I'm almost done. So you can get excited about that. Hebrews chapter 13. Just find that chapter, hold your place, and then we'll come back to it in just a moment. I wonder if we as Christians realize all that we have because we are a child of God. I know it's important to study a lot of things in the Scriptures, and you should. But I wish Christians really understood the fullness of their salvation. What you receive the moment you trusted Christ, what you receive as a child of God, and what you will receive one day simply because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So let me bore you for a moment and give you a couple of things. Because you're a child of God, you're justified in the sight of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, God justified you in His sight. Justification is the act whereby God declares you as righteous in His sight. Why? Because he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Justified. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, God justified you. Hey, and that justification was good, listen, at that moment, and good forever. God never unjustifies one of his children. There is no scripture ever teaches that. Once saved, always saved. Once justified, always justified. Declared not guilty in the sight of God. That's amazing, isn't that? To think that I said that's amazing, isn't that? Okay, just stay with me now. I know you're excited about watching the commercials for the Super Bowl. Stay with me a minute. And as a child of God, I'm adopted into his family. My dad was adopted. I remember at my grandfather's funeral at the graveside, my dad spoke and mentioned how that my grandfather, the only grandfather I ever knew from his side of the family, my grandfather had adopted him when he was a little boy. And he said, "I always thought it was special that he chose me." And if you think about it, people, listen now, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God took you into His family. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, John 1:12. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen, you are a member of the family of God. Because you got saved, because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Adopted, okay, justified, adopted. Now let me see what else we have here. Oh, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, joint heirs means this. See, Jesus has everything when it's all over and said and done. He has everything, and we get a part of that. A joint heir with Christ. So since Jesus has it all, that means literally, figuratively and literally, it means we have a part of everything that Jesus is going to get, and He gets it all. Joint heir. The moment you trusted Christ, He put you in His will. He put you in His, He declared you to have, look at me, because you trusted Christ as your Savior. Let me see. I wrote a few down. Stay with me. I know it's not exciting, but stay with me. The moment you trusted Christ, you have access to God. Access to God. Right now, my friend, you bowed your head today when we had Lord's Supper and you said, "Dear Heavenly Father, God, stop the angels and the angelic hosts. God, let the universe suspend to their courses. God leaned His ear over the battlement of heaven and said, one of my children is talking to me." And you not only have access to God as a collective body of people, you have access to God as an individual. You have God's ear because of your salvation. Access, look at me, access to God. We have a ministry here called Pastor Pray With Me. I can't pray for you though. You can pray for you, I can pray for you. But I don't have any better access to God than you do. If I do, it's because I use mine more than you do. And if you do, it's because you use yours and I'm more than I do. We have access to God. Lester Jackman used to go to our church, and when Brother Jackman came to our church, he was in his late 80s by then. And oh, I love to get with that man and pray. He was a six-year-old boy when he walked an aisle in a Billy Sunday crusade, took Billy Sunday by the hand and accepted Christ as his Savior. Never married. Died in his middle 90s. I still love it when he went to the doctor and they took his blood pressure and they said, "Brother Jackman, you have the blood pressure of a 35-year-old man. What's the secret?" He said, "I've never been married." Anyway. So, but from the time he was six until he went to heaven in 95, almost 90 years of his life, this man knew God. I still remember the first time I prayed with him. He said, "Pastor, would you pray with me?" I said, "Yes, Lester." And I said, "Go ahead." And he goes, "Dear God." God came in that room. You have access to God because you're a child of God. So when's the list over, Pastor? Well, frankly, it shouldn't be. But let's go one more. I wrote a few down. Stay with me. Oh, we are kings and priests unto God because you got saved, because you accepted Christ as your Savior. Revelation chapter 1 says we are made kings and priests unto God. Kings means royalty. That's because we're in the family. And priests means you have your own access to God. That means, you know, the prophet spoke for God to man. The priest speaks for man to God. You're your own priest. You can go to God on your own. King and priest. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were made a king and a priest unto God. Next, hold on. Now, stay with me. I know. Don't worry. I'll get you out here pretty quick. Stay with me. This is too good stuff now. Because the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you are blessed. You're blessed. Look here. Blessed now and blessed later. Bible calls it being blessed with all spiritual blessings in high places. The blessing of being a child of God. Then the blessing of having access to God. And the blessing of having Him as my Heavenly Father. And the blessing of Jesus as my elder brother. And we have a blessed hope, the Bible says. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our blessed hope. I hope it happens right when the first guy goes to kick it off. Right as his foot hits it, whoop, we go up. Wonderful. Billions of dollars spent, and Christians will be in heaven. It'll be wonderful. Some of you will grab your TV on the way up because you got to know who won the game. You got to find out. We have a blessed hope. Hope is something that the world does, whereas hope is something that we have. We have a blessed hope. All because you're a child of God now, you have blessedness. So hold on, there's one more and then we'll get on to the sermon. No, that wasn't it. Look here. The moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were immediately guaranteed a home in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. All you people who believe heaven's here on earth, sorry, no. There's some heavenly places on this earth, beautiful places on this earth. Man, they're putting, what's the donut place down south? Dunkin'. They're putting a Dunkin' Donuts in for you. So many people, that's heaven. I don't know what they're doing down there because they're doing nothing. Heavenly places on this earth? Yeah, sure, but not heaven, friend. No. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The moment you trusted Christ, God gave you a reservation and a guarantee of a place in heaven. Now, rather than go on with the list, because some of you are getting too excited, stay with me. Most Christians know we have all this and more, and believe me, and much more. You have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And He illuminates that book. He guides you, directs you, comforts you, lifts you, encourages you, strengthens you, convicts you, correct. He does all that. The moment you trusted Christ, you have the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. This book now becomes your book. This book opens up to you. It's no longer black ink on white paper. It's the living Word of God, because you are a child of God. For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're spiritually discerned. But for a saved person, I can get the truth out of this book. I can get it. Now, we know all these things, but that's not the message. The message is this. Do you know why you have all that? Justified, adopted, joint heir, access to God, king and priest, forgiven, blessed, home in heaven, indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you have all that? Do you know why? Because He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It hit me so much this week, I had to just talk to you about it for a minute this morning. I'm justified because Jesus was willing to take my sin upon Himself. And I'm justified because He was willing to die, like I read in Isaiah 53 this morning, die in a criminal place. Be condemned in all these judgments that Jesus had to go through before He was crucified. Condemned in every judgment, but declared innocent. Craziest system of justice you ever saw in your life. Makes OJ thing look like a Mickey Mouse affair. Declared innocent, and then declared guilty. And Jesus Christ stepped in the way of the judgment of God upon your sin and mine. And because you are forgiven today, you receive the gift of justification, the gift of eternal life. You got that because He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are justified because Jesus was made sin for us. We are adopted into God's family and accepted in the Beloved because Jesus was rejected. He came into His own and His own received Him not. He had to be willing to be rejected so you and I could be accepted. See, we've got this idea today that all these amazing things we have as a child of God just happen. No, they happen because of Jesus Christ today, who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We have access to God because Jesus was willing to give up His access to God. My God, Jesus said on the cross, why hast Thou forsaken me? In that moment when the God of heaven turned his back on His Son because Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus and the Father, God the Son and God the Father, for the first time in eternity forever, knew separation and distinction. There was no access there because He gave that up. Jesus gave that up so you could have access to God. We are blessed because Jesus was cursed Galatians 3:13 says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We're going to heaven, and we have a home there because Jesus gave up his place in heaven to flee to the crimson womb of Mary and be born of a virgin and walk this, listen to me, and walk this earth for us. He gave up his place in heaven so you could have one. Stay with me now. We have the rights of a child of God. The right of a child of God. Because the Bible said he became sin for us who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have the rights of a child of God because Jesus was willing to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2, which means this, Jesus Christ set aside his rights and privileges as God the Son to come to this earth, to take upon himself flesh, to be humbled like a servant, to go to the cross, to pay for our sins. So you and I could say, I'm a child of God and I have a right to go to my heavenly Father. Our rights were purchased by him giving up his rights. That needs to be declared all across this nation. Not only what Jesus did, but the fact that rights and privileges are purchased. They're not given. I hear one more person tell me, well, I have the right to this. I have the right to that. You know, you have the right to earn what you get. This country is swilling itself silly and choking to death on its selfishness. Because people think they have the right to something that's just because it's their right. No, it's purchased and paid for. And Jesus, every right you have as a child of God, well, I get to pray. Yes, wonderful. You know why? Because Jesus was willing to give up his rights so you could pray. So he could come, die in your place, give you eternal life. Then you have access to God. And the enmity between God and man was satisfied at the cross. Isaiah 53, he would look on the suffering of his son and be pleased. Not happy, pleased. He was satisfied by the payment that Jesus made. And now he has come to give us access to our Heavenly Father. Oh, the amazing Savior who gave up his rights. So we would have rights. We know that all we have is a child of God. All I want to say this morning is let's never forget why we have it. See, we kind of get that, well, I've been saved. Excuse me. You are a hell-deserving sinner, and Jesus Christ gave you the gift of eternal life. And he allowed you to receive that gift by simple repentance of faith and trusting him for your salvation. That's amazing. So let's do this morning. Let's make it clear. We are made a child of God by faith and trust in Christ for our salvation. We are made a child of God. Verse 21, one more time, look at it. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be, what's the next word, church? Made, not earned, made, not deserved, made, not worked for, made. Not what you do, what he did. You are given this. You are made the righteousness of God in him by faith because Jesus took upon him our sin. So let's make it clear this morning. Salvation is all of God, all of gift, all of grace, and it is a not earned, but a something given to us simply by the grace and loving care of our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm sorry if John 3:16 still bores you, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've been saved since I was a little boy, and it still amazes me that God's grace was gracious to me. It still amazes me that his mercy covered me. It still amazes me that God would give me forgiveness and eternal life and a home in heaven, all because of his son Jesus. And a simple little kid out of a drunkard's home sitting in a Baptist church in Antioch, California, accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Let us make it clear today. Let us declare to the four corners of this earth, salvation is through Christ alone. And if you're here this morning and that's not how you got salvation and the way you understand it, you need to come today and let us help you, point you to Jesus Christ so you may be saved. We can't save you, but Jesus can, but we can show you the one who does. Let's make it clear now. Oh, one more thing. And until you do, you don't. Until you have Christ as your Savior, you don't. All this amazing, what I have as a child of God stuff, I didn't pay for any of it. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's because he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And let's also be clear about something else then this morning. forever, God should be able to ask us to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto Him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me capsulize the thought for you this morning. Here it is. Because of all we have as a child of God that we did not deserve and could not pay for or earn, when He asks something of you, can I use a colloquial expression? Shut up and do it. Knock off the, well, I'm not so sure. Look at me. Look at me. Knock it off. Amazing today how we have to cajole and manipulate, as it were, or use psychology. We have to use all these. We have to couch our terms anymore when you start talking to Christians about what the real Christian life is about, which is lay it on the altar, friend. He paid for it. Give Him what He paid for. I don't see why we have to do that. I don't see why we have to massage egos. I don't see why we have to make it easy. I don't see why we have to back things down. He paid for it all. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Guess what? Anything He asked for, He should be able to get it. Anything. I don't understand this. I go to church when I feel like it. Hogwash. Well, I got my own spiritual stuff. Hogwash. That is garbage. God designed for you what a Christian life is like. And it's a yielded life. It's a surrendered life. It's a dedicated life. We're not here to couch any terms for you this morning. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Well, you start talking about cross Christianity and people get, they start running for the rafters. They want to know what in the world? That guy's getting serious about stuff. I'm just looking, no. See, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That means whatever you want, Jesus, you can have it now. It's not my life. It's not my friendships. It's not my choice. It's not me. It's not mine. It's His. He paid for it. It's only right. Now to Hebrews 13, please. So you told me that was the end of the sermon. I didn't say it was the end. I said it's close to the end. No, it is. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. You found that? Now look, verse 12, Hebrews 13, 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13 is it. Look at me. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. All we have is a child of God, all of it. And He was willing to sacrifice of Himself, give up all of His rights, do all of that for us so we could have the abundance of the Christian life. And now, 2018, Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is a reproach to a lot of people. He's outside the camp. You understand what outside the camp means to a Hebrew. The closer you got to the center of the camp, the closer you got to the tabernacle. Now people have put Jesus outside instead of inside. He said in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, can you imagine Jesus standing outside of a church knocking on the door to get in at one of His own churches? See, the real Jesus of the Bible is not popular today. Never has been, never will be, but less popular today maybe than ever. And because He was willing to do all of that for us, so you have all the truckload of the blessings and the benefits of the child of God, then let us take our stand with Jesus Christ today. It's not we're not testing the wind of the world to find out what they think about Jesus. We're not waiting for some Hollywood producer or director to spend millions of dollars to find the real Jesus. We're not going to watch the History Channel while they tell us who the real Jesus is. We're not going to listen. We're going to Google who the real Jesus is. We know who the real Jesus is. Oh, yeah, we do. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. And better than that, He is my Savior. And if that's not popular with this world, then I'll go outside the camp to join Him. If that means this world doesn't accept me, that's too bad. If that means it costs me friendships, that's too bad. If that means I have to step outside of some things and not be popular, that's too bad. Because I'm going to go outside the camp bearing his reproach. If he's reproached, I'm reproached. If he's rejected, I'll be rejected. If he's not welcome, then I won't be welcome. Then if that's how it is, that's how it is. Because you know why? Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, I got this truckload of goodness and grace and blessing and love and mercy and understanding and all the things that God has given me, all because he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now he's not popular? I don't care. If we have to go outside the camp to be with Jesus, that's what we'll do. It got to the place where the children of Israel abused that tabernacle with Moses. He picked it up, pulled it out of the middle of the camp, put it outside the camp, said, anybody means business, come out here to me. Okay, then that's how it is. That's how it is. That's me. If this what being business means business with the Lord is, we don't have to follow the world. We don't have to do what the world says. We're not looking for their approval. Then that's exactly what we'll do. And I know this is a Sunday morning sermon this morning, ladies and gentlemen, so I don't mean to rattle some of your cages, but frankly, some of you need your cage rattled, kicked over, knocked down, and the stinking door ripped off so you understand something, that our Savior gave us so much. And in truth, he asked for so little. Can we go outside the camp to him then? Without the camp, bearing his reproach, instead of saying, well, yes, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to live my life the way I want. Really? You forgot who gave you that life to live the way you want. You forgot where that came from. You've forgotten what it means to have the forgiveness of Almighty God in a moment of simple repentance to turn to God and say, Father, forgive. Boom. Just like that, for Jesus' sake. All of it. So, rather than sit around and counting the blessings, which we need to do, rather than take a theological study on the doctrine of soteriology, how about this one? He became sin for me that knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.